So, for a bit of background, last month, Melbourne's West witnessed a spate of fires. There was a chemical explosion and fire in Derrimut, and 10 days later, a fire at a plastics warehouse facility in the neighbouring suburb of Deer Park. So the Derrimut chemical explosion caused one of Victoria's biggest fires in recent years. More than 180 firefighters responded, with some firefighters presenting to hospital for exposure to chemicals. Vic Emergency, they declared a watch and act warning for nearby suburbs because of the thick toxic smoke, and local creeks were affected by the fire water runoff due to 3 million litres of water and around 40,000 litres of foam being used to battle the blaze. Now, what's concerning with the Derrimut chemical explosion and fire is that last year there was a fatality at the same site. And we understand that Victorian Environment Protection Authority conducted inspections at that site after that explosion, and yet still it's gone up in flames this year. And then 10 days after that fire, more than 80 firefighters were called to a Deer Park warehouse fire. So essentially, we've got a situation where there's been two industrial fires in the space of 10 days, and one of those facilities was the subject of EPA compliance and enforcement measures, and it's still gone up in flames.
This coalition of 40 community groups has come about because they are aware, as one of their very well-known spokespersons, Colin Hartland, said, and she was a councillor over on that side of town, residents never know what's at the end of the street until it blows up.
That's right. So the Anti-Toxic Waste Alliance, they're an alliance of community groups that are based in the north and the western suburbs. And on behalf of the Anti-Toxic Waste Alliance, we have written a letter to the EPA and the Minister for the Environment raising their concerns. So two of the big issues for the Anti-Toxic Waste Alliance is that there's been a regulatory failure from the EPA in particular, and there's also a real lack of transparency.
The legislation that surrounds the EPA's existence is supposed to work as a proactive measure rather than act after incidents. Is that right? That's my understanding of what this legislation is supposed to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. So about 5 years ago, new laws were introduced through the Environment Protection Act, which is the state's pollution and waste laws, to enable the EPA to prevent harm through proactive measures, rather than acting to clean up after a pollution incident has occurred. And so the Derrimut chemical explosion and fire, that shows that the regulator's not using those legal tools that it has at its disposal, because the EPA clearly failed to take adequate proactive measures to prevent the risks of harm that were posed at that site. But rather, they're turning up afterwards to clean up.
I mean, I know that you're a lawyer and you can only speak to what has happened in regards to your clients. You've written a letter, you're asking, please explain. But this has been going on for quite a while. I've been following issues like the incinerators, the landfill debacles, and this is all happening in areas where citizens would say that if this was happening in Toorak, they wouldn't get away with it.
That's right. So communities in Melbourne's West are exposed to high levels of air pollution, well in excess of safe and acceptable levels. And that's different to other parts of Melbourne. And you're right, there are projects such as the Lara or the Wollert or the Maryvale Waste to Energy Facility. Those projects certainly aren't proposed for suburbs like Toorak.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that writing a letter to the EPA is only one step in a process that the community groups are taking, isn't it?
That's right. It's part of a broader campaign. So The EPA has a range of tools at its disposal to address these risks, and there's a community campaign to pressure the EPA to exercise its powers and to do its job.
Now, you're from the Environment Justice Australia. You actually work towards better outcomes in highly contentious areas of environmental concern. And this is one of those areas of concern, isn't it?
That's right. So there are certain areas of the community, which we've touched on before, which are disproportionately affected by pollution and waste. And that's really unfair. That's an environmental justice issue. And so we act for community groups in those communities to try and bring some accountability and try and address those environmental injustices.
Now, the EPA is almost, I mean, I followed what happened after the down in Gippsland when the open cut caught fire. And the EPA was used as a monitoring organisation in regards to what was going on there. And at the time, there was a great deal of concern about where they decided they were going to place their measurement equipment, because it was believed that they were going to get readings that weren't going to be specifically dealing with the issues that the citizenry were concerned with. Now, it looks like the EPA is being used as a, rather than a watchdog for the concerns of the citizenry, but as a stonewall between it and the government and its any government's responsibility. Are you hopeful that you're going to get a result from these letters? I mean, they have to respond, don't they? Because they're an authority.
Yeah, so we've asked for a response that should arrive imminently. But you have raised a really interesting issue of transparency and access to information for the community. And so that's one issue that we included in our letter to the EPA and to the Victorian Minister for the Environment. And that touches on the issue that people are really frustrated that the EPA fails to properly inform or engage with the community following these major incidents and these major pollution events. So, for example, with the Anti-Toxic Waste Alliance, they have specifically requested from the EPA access to the notices that were issued by the EPA to the group that has responsibility for the Derrimut site, because we understand that the EPA issued notices and that there was a response to those notices, but the community's in the dark as to what information those notices contained. The Anti-Toxic Waste Alliance, they've also asked for the data that goes to the risks of harm to human health from the firewater runoff and from the toxic air pollution. Because when the data is available, and we know that it is available and it's held by the EPA, that it's just not sufficient or satisfactory that the community is compelled to rely on like generalised warnings or advice.
Oh, yes.
We want the community to be able to actually make decisions for themselves based on the raw and proper data.
You point out that in your release that the face-to-face community engagement arising from the Derrimut chemical explosion via a pop-up occurred 9 days after the incident, which means, of course, that the level of anxiety within the community was extreme for such a long time.
That's right. So the EPA's only face-to-face community engagement after the Derrimut chemical explosion, which, as I noted before, was one of the biggest fires in recent years, their only face-to-face consultation was 9 days later, and it was held in Altona, which is a 20-minute drive from Derrimut, and it was during business hours, which makes it really hard for members of the community to come to, and people were given less than 2 days notice of that face-to-face pop-up. So it's just, we're instructed that it's really quite insulting, really.
Disrespectful. It also, one of the things that Colleen Hartland said was that that EPA is underfunded. Is that your understanding?
Well, I'm not sure if it's underfunded, but ultimately it may be if they're failing to exercise their functions, like it may be a question of funding. So we've put that to the Minister for the Environment and to the EPA to consider it as their responsibility to determine whether the EPA is adequately funded to do its job. So our client has requested overall that the Victorian government renew its efforts to prioritise actions to protect and improve local air quality in Melbourne's west, and in so doing, we've drawn to the minister and the EPA's attention a report that was prepared by the community back in 2020 called the Inner West Air Quality Report, and it had 26 recommendations, and one of those recommendations was that the Victorian government provides appropriate resourcing to the EPA to enable it to use its strength and tools and powers. And the other recommendation that's relevant is that this group recommended that the Victorian government require the EPA to prioritise its strength and statutory tools and powers to ensure that West industrial premises comply with their air pollution management obligations. So if it's a matter of resourcing, those recommendations go to it.
Okay. Thank you very much for talking to me. And of course, this is a watching brief.
Thank you, Annie.